Now, what does this have to do with where we are today? Well, it has much to do with where we are today, because this is a frightening moment. It was terrifying before September 11th. We had a crisis before September 11th. All you had to do is look at the children, look at the working people's wages, look at the prison industrial complex, look at the drug war, which was a war against poor youth, disproportionately black and brown. Already had a crisis, but it's now multi-layered. It's now multi-layered, because in such a moment where paranoia and hysteria becomes hegemonic and pervasive, people begin to look for alternatives, and oftentimes they'll grab at straws, you see. And so it musters the courage to think critically and tell the truth in the spirit of compassion to fellow citizens. We have to shake them, because so many of us are asleep on our feet and need to be a pricked like a stingray that bites, gets folks to try to think differently. One of the ways we do that is to first try to connect ourselves with the best of the history. Because with the Socratic and the prophetic note is that precious democratic note. And democracies are so rare in human history, they tend not to last too long. And levels of paranoia undermine the very conditions for the possibility of democracy. When freedom is presented, people often escape from freedom, as Eric Fromm says. They'd rather defer to authority. To be a progressive is to be against the thick forms of conformity, complacency, compliance, and cowardice. All four. And it is to believe, as radical Democrats, democratic socialists, feminists, womanists, anti-homophobic freedom fighters, whatever you call yourself, I would just say you're a decent human being, but we got all these labels. But whatever you call yourself concerned with these issues, it means, one, you have to bear witness in terms of the kind of person you want to be, regardless of what you think are the short-term effects and consequences. If we say, I am an Arab American today because they are being targeted, I am a Muslim American today because they are being targeted, yes, you might not be popular. Who cares? We're not in this for a popularity contest. That's the kind of life we want to live. That's the kind of person we want to be. That's the kind of way we want to go out if we got to go out. That's the kind of trace we want to leave, the kind of legacy we want to leave. I hear black folks, in a recent poll, the group most likely to support racial profiling the Arab brothers and sisters. Now, it's hard for me to believe that poll because I got a bias, but I said, damn, all the hell we didn't come. And I guess it's partly understandable. You say, yeah, let somebody else have it for a while and get a little relief. But it lacks ethical substance. Now, of course, we can go back to our Arab brothers and sisters and say, it's not like you've been crazy about us for the last 10 years. Kind of keep a little distance from the Negroes. And now you need us and everybody else. And I'm saying you got some black folk who gonna be with you anyway, even given what your history is. Because it's right and moral and just. But it's not just about persons, as real as it is. The immediate targets, thousands and thousands of folk in detention right now since September 11th, just like Mumia Abu-Jamal in detention for almost 17 years. Targeted by the repressive apparatus of the U.S. nation state. vicious repressive apparatus in the name of security for some. You see, cleaning things up for some. You see, no, to be a Democrat is to say, as that genius from this part of the world, Sly Stone, put it, everyday people have a depth, a geniality, a bigness of heart, mind, and soul that is potential and could be actualized if their voices are heard at the highest levels of the decision-making processes in those institutions that guide and regulate their lives. There's no accident that the Negro National Anthem has lifted every voice. Every voice. It's no accident that the greatest democratic art form to come out of not just only this country, but any other country in the world, which is jazz, is all about finding your voice. That Janie Crawford in their eyes were watching God is trying to find her voice. John Coltrane couldn't imitate Johnny Hodges for too long because he had to find his voice. It's all about finding your voice, and when you find your voice, you have a courage that just speak, to reflect about what you're speaking about and be willing to live and die for what you're highlighting in your speech that focuses on the plight of everyday people. Because everybody's a star, Sly says. As Muhammad Ali put it, ain't nobody like me, ain't nobody gonna be like me. That's democratic individuality. That's not bourgeois individualism. Each one of us unique, distinctive, irreducible. No one like us, everyone unusual. And there's an extraordinariness in ordinary folk. There's a miraculous in the quotidian, as Ralph Waldo Emerson put it. That's a democratic sensibility. And if you don't believe it, then you don't believe really in democracy. It's just a little fig leaf to hide and conceal your oligarchic economy and your white supremacists and male supremacists and homophobic practices. You're not really a Democrat. Small D. You can't understand the workers' movement. How could you be a Democrat when their voices are not heard in the workplace? What a challenge. Now, it could be the case that American civilization really doesn't have the capacity to be a full-fledged democracy. That's a real possibility. The greatest text ever written on this civilization, Alexis de Tocqueville in 1835 and 1840, volume 1 and 2. He came here and said, this is a fascinating place, a lot of democratic sensibilities, but there's something here that's deeply American, but not democratic at all. That last chapter, the biggest chapter in the text, in the first volume. He says, this place does not have the capacity to be a multiracial democracy. They might not even have the capacity to be a classless democracy. It's a capitalist democracy with white privilege. And they might include some exceptional black and brown and yellow and red folk. But democracy is not about just making place for the bourgeois elements of these various peoples of color. If you can't deal with their cousins on the corner, then you haven't met the challenge. When Marcus Garvey raised the most terrifying question ever raised in America, you say deep down, the vast majority of white fellow citizens will act KKK-like when it comes to political, economic, and sexual competition. They talk a good game, but these chocolate folk move to the cities and white flight takes place. Move to the schools and new schools show up. Don't really want to embrace. You say, Mr. Garvey, is a harsh conclusion, but it's certainly an inescapable challenge. And progressives must take seriously Garvey's question. He said, as long as black people are outside of Africa, their lives will be lives of ruin and disaster. He You say, Mr. Garvey, when's the last time you looked at Africa? Legacies of European colonialism, decrepit African bourgeois leadership, lies of disaster, ruin. And the words of Henry Holland Garnett echoed down through the corridors of time, never confused the plight of people of African descent with those of the Israelite in the Old Testament. For black folk, pharaohs on both sides of the bloody Red Seas. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Somebody sing a song. Maybe the freedom will be in how we relate to one another to reform and revolutionize the very white supremacist America that has so utterly denied us and others. What am I saying? I'm saying in part. You are very patient. I'm saying in part. You cannot talk about being a progressive in American civilization and being a Democrat, radical Democrat, small d, without putting the struggle against the vicious legacy of white supremacy at or near the center of your program. You can't do it. Other issues are crucial. Ecological abuse, crucial. Wealth inequality, fundamental. But the litmus test, the Achilles heel, is this legacy of white supremacy, because if you deal with that legacy, then you'll be forced to raise the other kinds of questions, because when it comes to where so much of the ecological abuse is taking place, when it comes to the vast majority of these peoples of color who are working and underemployed and unemployed, when it comes to decrepit schools and unavailable childcare and inadequate health care, if you're dealing with the legacy of white supremacy, you're gonna have to deal with these other issues in a serious way. But if you're dealing with these issues and somehow sidestepping that legacy of white supremacy, then we end up still so distant, separated by that veil that the great Du Bois talked about in 1903.